Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-550-8841. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS.
Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start.
Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems.
We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau.
You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call
800-550-8841. That's 800-550-8841.
Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. President Trump says while all other federal departments can expect a lot of layoffs and buyouts, he said Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security would not be cut. President Trump also announcing he'll sign a mineral mining deal with Ukrainian President Zelensky at the White House on Friday, not confirmed by Zelensky. And,
well, I'm not going to make security guarantees beyond very much. We're going to have Europe do that because it's in, you know, we're talking about Europe is their next door neighbor.
The president says he still plans to issue tariffs on imports from Mexico and Canada April 2nd and slap them on Europe as well. Generally, companies pass the cost of tariffs on to consumers with higher prices. The Menendez brothers in prison for the 1989 killings of their parents could be closer to freedom. California Governor Newsom has ordered the state parole board to do a risk assessment on Lyle and Eric. There's another slight improvement in Pope Francis's pneumonia case, says the Vatican. This is ABC News. Federal health experts now reporting the first measles death in the U.S. in over a decade. Texas officials confirming that an unvaccinated school-aged child died from the disease after being hospitalized in Lubbock last week. Dr. Laura Johnson, who's a pediatrician and chief medical officer at Covenant Children's and Covenant Health in Lubbock, Texas.
This is the first time I've had any professional experience with a measles outbreak. I saw one travel-related case when I was in medical school very briefly, but at that time, back in around 2000, we really thought that we'd eradicated measles from the United States and didn't have any anticipation of seeing any outbreaks here.
The Supreme Court seems likely today to side with an Ohio woman who claims that she suffered sex discrimination from her employer because she is straight. Chuck Severson, ABC News.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable Scent Beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppable, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Awin. Wisconsin lawmakers reintroducing legislation that would ban trans women and girls from playing in the sport that matches their gender identity.
The bill from Oconomowoc Republican Representative Barb Dietrich follows the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association's announcement last week that it is changing policy on transgender athletes. WIAA will comply with President Donald Trump's executive order barring transgender women and girls from playing women's and girls' sports. Dietrich's bill would require transgender women and girls in K-12 schools, universities of Wisconsin schools, and technical colleges to play the sport that aligns with their sex assigned at birth. Governor Tony Evers has criticized the legislation as discriminatory and has said he will veto any bill that makes Wisconsin less welcoming for LGBTQ people and kids. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Governor Evers is fearful of what Trump administration policies might mean for Wisconsin.
At the end of the day, the idea that somehow things aren't going to happen from Washington, D.C., and the things that they are doing around tariffs, there's no question that's going to impact our economy.
Evers commented to the Wisconsin Counties Association's annual legislative conference in Madison Tuesday. He and other governors met with President Trump at the White House last week. UW-Madison Chancellor Jennifer Mnookin has concerns about the Trump administration's efforts to cut federal funding for medical research.
There are significant threats to the operation of whether our universities can continue to serve our state in the ways that they have. If we take what's on the table and just toss it all out, I think that the people of Wisconsin and the people of our nation will be paying for that for a long time.
Wisconsin and 21 other states have sued to stop the cuts, which would limit indirect costs on research grants to 15%. That's down from 50%. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great-tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Mostly cloudy today, but still mild, with high temperatures reaching the mid-40s and a few spotty sprinkles here this afternoon. That'll flip to a few flurries overnight as temperatures fall below freezing to 30 degrees. And we stay slightly cooler tomorrow with highs in the upper 30s. Get faster and cheaper internet from Whole Home Connect, 1-800-217-9129. It's 46 degrees at our studios.
The crops markets were lower today. Corn, all three flavors of wheat, the entire soy complex, cotton, they were all lower. Most cattle contracts were lower too. Only front month feeders traded higher. It might be because of all the buyers that moved over to hogs.
Live from the summit of Hump Day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Brady Huck from Advanced Trading. Directly following the news, Todd Bubba Horwitz from BubbaTrading.com. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, we got Brady Huck back on. That's going to be fun.
It will be.
We've got a lot that we want to get to in the conversation today. And I want to spend some time just talking about risk management attitudes. Okay.
Okay.
Here we are. We were getting all kinds of tariff talk again this morning. They bumped things out to April now. All right. It's not going to be March 4. We're now looking, or even March 2nd. There was talk that it was going to be as early as March 2nd. That the tariffs on Mexico and Canada would be initiated. Now they pushed it out to April. The markets barely responded to it, but
sure.
the clarity, it's pretty cloudy out there right now, trying to figure out exactly what is going to happen, when it's going to happen. How does that impact risk management and strategies? Okay. I want to talk to Brady about that.
Okay.
So, does that make sense?
See, here's where I'm sitting. You don't push it out another month if you really, really, really want to have them put on. I think this is a sign that, okay, we'll give it a little more time.
Yeah.
We'll see, at least when it comes to our neighbors to the north and to the south. It may be a different matter with China and tariffs and other nations, but I don't think he wants to put these on, dude.
No, there are some people that believe that the way that it is being handled means the quote-unquote threat of a tariff is starting to lose its sting.
Well, so maybe he needs to put some tariffs on somebody, you know?
That's exactly right.
Let's find somebody. Who wants to volunteer?
He's got to get some sting back in the threats, and the way that you do that is you actually implement the tariffs. Yeah, you are exactly right, Davis. All right, we got Bubba standing by. Let's go ahead and get started on the markets.
Sure thing, Chip. March, soft red winter wheat futures posted the lowest close of the month, and the downside momentum in the market has chart watchers targeting the February low of 558. Technical selling seems to be dominating the market, with professional trading funds thought to still be on the long side of the market. So if Econ estimates 24-25 Russian wheat exports at 42.2 million metric tons, down nearly 20% from last year's exports. March HRW wheat futures today 6¾ lower at 585. March SRW down 6¾ cents to 566. March spring wheat futures closed at 599.5. That's down 13.5 cents, Chip.
All three of those markets are looking for more demand. There's no question about it. And it's got to show up from the export market, and it's not at this point.
Well, Chip, ethanol production week ended Feb 21, averaged 1.081 million barrels per day. That's down 3,000 barrels from the previous week, but still 6,000 barrels ahead of the same week last year. Ethanol stocks exploded in the week by 1.353 million barrels to a burdensome 27.6 million. Jeez. Reports that South Korea bought U.S. corn overnight helped the corn market trade higher until mid-morning, when wheat and beans started to pull corn prices lower. March corn futures closed below the opening range for a fourth consecutive session and closed at the lowest level since January 16. March corn futures today, a penny and a half lower at 478 and a quarter. May corn down 3/4. 493.5. July corn futures closed at 498.5, down 0.75 cents, Chip.
Yeah, corn tried today. Corn tried early in the session, but the weight of beans and wheat were just too much for it to handle.
Well, the entire soy complex drifted to the downside, with the Brazilian bean harvest making progress. There was also talk about Indonesia increasing palm oil production to feed into its biodiesel production, while also filling export demand. That weighed on palm oil prices overnight and pulled bean oil prices lower today. March soybean futures respected support at yesterday's low, posted an inside trading day with a high range open and a low range close. Still, front month beans closed below 1025 for the first time since Jan 16. March beans were 6¾ cents lower at 1024.5. May beans down 7.5 cents, 1041.25. July beans closed at 1056.25, down 7.25 cents today.
Yeah, choppy, choppy, choppy. That's all I can say about that bean market right now.
Well, March cotton was 59 points lower at 65.37. On your livestock's April fat cattle continued to pivot around the 195 level, and today turned back to the south side of that level. Choice graded box beef prices slightly higher this morning. Select beef slightly lower. Beef movement was good at 75 loads. Straighters still looking for lower cash cattle trade this week. April fat cattle $1.10 lower today, 194.62.5. March feeder futures 15 cents higher, 274.37.5. And on the snout side, lean hog futures ended the price slide with a solid rally, with April futures trading to a new high for the week. April lean hogs up $1.72.5 today to 88.30. Chip, over to you.
Excellent. Thank you, Davis. Let's bring in Todd Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. How you doing, Bubba?
I got the home team. What's up, fellas?
Yeah, man. We're both here. What do you like?
I got to I like buying grain, selling cattle, buying hogs.
Okay.
Nothing's changed. I think we're set up pretty good for a pretty good rally, especially if the equities continue to take it on the chin. But the overall patterns in the grain markets, even the beans, look really good. So the selling was natural and should have come. And now that we should see some new money buyer come in the next couple of days, and I expect this to be a stair step walking up, and I'm looking for about a 10 to 12% rally across the board.
Okay. All right. So we just got to get past first notice day. Is that what I'm hearing? Let's flip the calendar to March and move on.
Right. Exactly. That's always the case. We can listen. There's always a bunch of excuses as to why. But now we're in a position, we came from very overbought conditions and pulled back, and now we're back around the mean. which means that, again, if we're going to get new money, which I think we will, they'll go higher again, and we'll make another run. And, again, I'm looking for, you know, another 10 to 12%, if not more, but I'm looking for a nice, solid, steady rally, not a quick knee-jerk run-up.
Okay. Where's this new money coming from?
It's going to come out of the equity market. Have you been watching?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know that the grains are one of the top investments that money goes to when it starts to come out of equities. And, of course, we've seen NASDAQ down about 8% in the last week or so. And I think there's a lot more trouble coming. And, you know, there's a lot of things in this world that are in trouble. And I think that the banks are in trouble, which, again, leads me to believe that the markets are going to melt down and that'll bring money into the grain markets. Plus the fact that I think we're in pretty good shape anyways.
Gotcha. All right, buddy. Hey, we will talk to you again next week. Thanks, man.
I appreciate it. Have a good one. Thanks.
You bet. That is Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. All right, coming up next, as I said earlier, I want to talk about risk management strategies. I want to talk about the outlook for these grain markets. We got Brady Huck from Advanced Trading up next here on AgriTalk.
It can be challenging for U.S. farmers to make a profit in the grain markets. Reduce your risk exposure by purchasing professionally produced seed from authorized seed companies and seed dealers. The members of the Seed Innovation and Protection Alliance invest 15% of their sales into product research and development to help farmers like you maximize their crop performance every year. Bringing new seed innovations requires time, extensive research, and farmer partnership, the kind of commitments the seed companies of SEPA are investing in. Thank you for buying new seed and supporting U.S. seed innovation. To anonymously report a seed infringement, call 1-844-SEED-TIP.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Antibodies huddle up.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Amplify Health by Gunderson welcomes Dr. John Snyder to their family medicine team in Mondovi, now open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Dr. Snyder joins physician assistant Taylor Anderson, seeing patients of all ages from acute care to wellness visits. Call 715-926-1113 today for a same-day or next-day appointment in Mondovi, or video visits are also available for your added convenience. Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic is part of Gunderson Tri-County Hospital and Clinics.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, simplifying land loans to help family farms build a stronger financial future. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us. Brady Huck, Advanced Trading, is our guest analyst today. Brady, welcome back to AgriTalk, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Welcoming good. The warm weather here in Western Kansas, Chip.
Yeah. It's been like 70, mid-70s over there, hasn't it?
It's dang near hot, Chip. It's hot out here. Minus 10 last week, 75 this week. Crazy. Big swing.
Holy smokes. Holy smokes. I'm not.
Did you get out and enjoy the nice weather yesterday?
Yes. Yes, I did spend a little time outside yesterday. We've got it again today. It's not quite as nice today as it was yesterday, but still, for the end of February, I'm not going to send it home. That's for sure. Hey, what's this do to that wheat crop over there? Any ideas?
Well, when it's 75 degrees, you got to wonder about things breaking dormancy. But I don't know if we need to worry about that quite yet. Okay. Last week it was winter kill and breaking dormancy here. The next week, I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe the. Yeah.
No kidding. That seems like a quick move. But there we are. So, what do you make of the grain markets right now? What are they telling you?
Well, it's been a rough week here, and you know, we survived today, I think. Corn tried, like you guys said earlier in that segment, corn tried. But I don't know, just feels like there's more sellers than buyers right now. Got some lines piling up at ethanol plants and crush plants. The pipeline seems and feels pretty full for the moment. We need to get past some of the acreage noise and get a new story to feed these bulls, Chip.
Okay. All right. Any of the markets threatening any kind of a technical breakdown in here?
Oh, you know, the corn contract breaking the 20-day moving average, that's not a good thing, and you're very elevated above the 100-day and 200-day moving averages. I always like to watch those. Those are big, long-term type averages, and anytime you get extended heavily above those like we are in corn, a guy's got to pay attention to that. Throw in the fund long position, and that's another check mark to proceed with caution as we move forward here, Chip.
Okay. Yeah, so talk to me a little bit more about those longer-term momentum indicators, the 100-day, 200-day moving average. What kind of a trigger are you looking at there? I mean, is it just that they hang out above those averages for a long enough period of time that the funds will take some profits out of those long positions, or do we have to close below those long-term averages to really trigger that?
Well, anytime you look at charts and talk technicals, you're talking about the past, and I think a guy's got to be really, really careful because none of them are real forward-looking indicators. But they, like all technical indicators, if people watch them and if they're popular, they're going to get traded, and you're going to see market reactions around them. So, I don't know. And they can be gravity. So I think anytime you are extended above those, the 50-day, the 100-day, the 200-day, watch them. They act like gravity. The markets kind of want to go back to them over time.
Yeah, interesting. What about the money flow in the markets right now or the management of those positions? Funds still on the long side of corn? What about wheat? And anything to take from that?
Yeah, definitely. Big net long position on the corn side of things, and guys got to be careful there. Wheat's been, you know, kind of a dog. They've lifted some of that net short or softened up that net short position. But we need a story, Chip. Freeze, something, Russia production problem. The bulls got to have a story every day. You know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I was a little disappointed that the market didn't respond well, but it's already been. It's been talked about, the decline in Russian wheat exports with the new estimate from Sovicon out there. I thought maybe that was going to help that wheat market today, but it didn't do much at all, did it?
No, wheat's just been kind of struggling there. It made a nice run, though, and you can't, you know, last time I was on, it was late August, the dang near bottom contract lows for Dece, March, May. Corn contracts, pretty tough wheat country prices there too. We've made a nice run since that stretch there, Chip. So I don't know. We've had a rough week here, and but you got to respect, you know, a dollar type of rally that we've seen in these markets since the last time I was on last fall. It doesn't happen every year, and it's good to see when it happens.
Excellent.
And that they don't last forever, Chip. Right?
Yep.
The
that's
markets
right.
Don't go up forever.
That's right. I like your attitude there. That's a glass half full attitude right there, Brady. I like it. What about First Notice Day? Is that having much of an impact on the way the markets are trading today?
Oh, I don't know. You know, anytime we go into those contracts coming off and rolling over into the other one, you got to watch the spreads and the movement there. But like I said, the pipeline's pretty full. Got long lines out there. I don't know if there's, it just seems like the pipeline's full here, and we are just kind of kicking the can and waiting for that next story. And there's more sellers here the last week than there have been buyers.
Okay. What have you and Connor been talking about this week on your reports?
Oh, that's fun. Live at 9 every day on YouTube and Twitter. We have a lot of fun on that show. I hope you tune in, Chip. It's a good time.
I see it every now and then. Yep.
Good. Yeah, we talk a little cattle. We talk, you know, just all the headlines that are popping up. This, you know, the Outlook Forum deal tomorrow, you know, it seems to have a negative tone historically. And it's kind of noise. And we get into it seems like the acreage deal is on everybody, the tip of everybody's tongue. You know, I'm more interested in the March 31st prospective plannings acreage report than the Outlook deal tomorrow. And then, of course, the May WASD. That, you know, that's a big one down the road. But we got to have something to talk about every day, and it's the Outlook Forum tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. 93.6 million for planted corn is the survey results going into the unveiling of Seth's balance sheets for corn. 93.6 million planted on corn. On soybeans, 84.4 million. It seems like I thought the pre-release estimates, I thought the corn number would be higher than that, Brady. What'd you think?
Yeah, but, you know, still a 2 million, what is that, a 2.5 million jump in corn acres? That's a sizable jump still, Chip. I don't know. The market certainly is trying to buy them, it feels like. Didn't get much help on the board today to buy any more or offset, you know, change the bean-corn ratio on that front. But I don't know. You look at cotton. Cotton's kind of a dog versus corn. Feels like there's going to be a lot. We're going to lose a lot of cotton acres. 93.5, I say that's a fair guess. Feels like, you know, 94, maybe a tick over 94 is what a lot of people might lean towards today. But that can change over, you know, weather. When the planters get rolling, bring me some more seed. Let's fill up the planter. I'm going to keep going. I want to get this crop in here while I can. That might dictate what gets in the ground and some of those finer details there.
Yep. Good point. Good point. Boy, you talk to the weather people right now, and everybody seems to be focused on a drier bias. Now, maybe the Eastern Belt, a little bit wetter, a little bit cooler, but a drier bias for this spring. With all this talk about more corn acres, good grief. If they get started early, Brady, they could shoot right past 94, get up closer to 95 million on corn, can't they?
Definitely, yeah. You look at a drought map, and you know 45% of typical corn production area in the U.S. right now is under some sort of drought on the drought monitor right now. Worth paying attention to as we go into spring. One, for the planting pace, but two, you got to talk about the soil moisture. And if we're planting more fringe acres to corn, we got to have some soil moisture there. So I wish the Eastern Belt would share some of that moisture and share the love out here in the Western Plains. We would sure take it if we could get some.
All right. All right. Anything on the demand side that we should be watching for in the numbers that we get from USDA tomorrow morning?
Oh, you know, to me, those are pencil. They're numbers that you throw them at a dartboard. They're going to be, you know, nothing too earth-shattering, in my opinion. Maybe have a negative type of bias. But I'll be interested to see what they do with ethanol numbers, exports, longer term. If there just any tweaks there. You know, I don't want to go too deep in the weeds here, but the avian influenza and the impact on grain-consuming animal units, what does that do to feed residual type numbers? Cattle on feed, you know, less cattle out there. Those we can't make them overnight, Chip. So those would be the things I'd be watching going forward, Chip.
All right. Early tomorrow morning during the break is when those balance sheets will be released. Okay. So everybody watch for those tomorrow morning, and we'll see what Seth thinks. Seth Meyer, chief economist there at USDA, we'll see what he thinks for those balance sheets. Okay, Brady, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about this cattle trade and see what you think there as far as get some chart outlook from you, what's happening in the cash markets, stuff like that. Maybe some direction for this cattle market after the setback that we've had. I'd like to get into that as well. I want to talk South America. And then let's get into those risk management strategies and the impact of the uncertainty or the lack of clarity that we've got in here right now. How does that impact your risk management decisions? We're talking with Brady Huck from Advanced Trading.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. And more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. Where March HRW wheat futures were 6¾ cents lower at 585. March soft red wheat down 6¾ cents to 566. March corn futures 1½ cents lower at 478¼. July corn futures closed at 498½. That's down 0.75 cents today. March soybeans 6¾ cents lower at 1024½. July beans closed at 1056¼. That's down 7¼ cents. March cotton was 59 points lower at 65.37. Looking at your livestock, April fat cattle were $1.10 lower at 194.62½. March feeder futures 15 cents higher at 274.37½. And April lean hog futures up $1.72½ to 88.30. Get more, visit tryprofarmer.com.
Mom's early outs.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit WisconsinSoybean.org.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor now available at Anabus Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Mostly cloudy today, but still mild, with high temperatures reaching the mid-40s and a few spotty sprinkles here this afternoon. That'll flip to a few flurries overnight as temperatures fall below freezing to 30 degrees. And we stay slightly cooler tomorrow with highs in the upper 30s. Get faster and cheaper internet from Whole Home Connect. 1-800-217-9129. It's 46 degrees at our studios.
Expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalks. We are in the middle of a conversation with today's guest analyst, Brady Huck, from Advanced Trading. Brady, what do you make of the cattle markets?
Resilient here, trying to claw back. It's good to see these feeders. Feeders have been the leaders on this bounce here, but fats are dragging on the thing.
So. Yeah. Yep. Why? Why are the fats dragging?
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of concerns about the consumer macro market stuff out there. The consumer confidence report yesterday didn't help anything. A lot of concerns about the health of the consumer and, you know, just Packer margins in general, Packer profitability. Nobody's rooting for the Packer to make money. I'm certainly not rooting for them to, you know, be making killer margins. But if they're not making money, that's going to trickle downhill pretty quick. So got to watch that. You know, on the bright side, though, other proteins have been supportive for beef on the beef front. You know, chicken's elevated. You got the egg price debacle there. And then there's just resilient demand for beef quality. We've got over the last 10 years, we've improved the quality of beef out there. We've got more prime and choice cattle available, and the consumers like the taste of great American high-quality beef.
Yeah, yep, no doubt about it. So why are feeders leading now? It's kind of like the tail wagging the dog, isn't it?
It is a little bit. Yeah, it's kind of, and you know, they just don't pencil. You go buy these feeders and put them on, you're betting on the come, and you've got to be optimistic for where these markets are going to go. You're either betting on the market to rally or to get some, you know, significant grid premiums out there. But March feeders, they broke $16 between late Jan and mid Feb, and we've recovered, you know, nearly 2/3 of that sell off, $11 of that $16. Index is up there, 279. We're just a tick below that record index of 281. I think the charts are trying to figure out the next move, but we've got some, you know, wheat pasture cattle that are going to come off here pretty soon, and that'll be a true test of where this market's at and how aggressive feed yards want to go fill these pens back up. It's nice that I think there's some of the cattle coming out are making some money. Not all of the pens are, but some of them. And if you're making money with the cattle going out, you're a lot more optimistic on the cattle that are coming back in, Chip.
Oh, yeah. Yep. You don't. They're not letting the pens stay empty if the last one made money, that's for sure. What about the Mexican situation and, you know, the talk of all the tariffs? And then you've got the screw worm. Situation and the disrupted trade out of Mexico. What's the latest there, and how's that impacting this market?
What they're trying to reopen the border, some quarantine type stuff. I think some of those, you know, it's going to disrupt trade a little bit, but maybe slow things down, restrict things a little bit. But I think eventually some of them get there. I think there's a lot of noise out there regarding it. You know, animal health and safety and having a safe American product is priority number one, and we got to support that. The tariff situation, though, with Mexico and the tariff talk, that's a real deal. It could be, it's unpredictable, though. It's impossible to know how that is going to predict, you know, impact the markets going forward. It could be supportive, it could be negative, and it's going to trickle throughout all sectors of our economy and be disruptive. What we don't want to do is disrupt the consumer spending habits and their cash flow. They got to eat, but you know, if their pocket strings tighten up a little bit because the stock market's selling off or something else, maybe they're not buying prime beef.
Yep. Okay. Noise. You've used that word a couple of times talking about these markets. How does that noise, or the lack of clarity, the uncertainty in the marketplace, how does that impact your risk management decisions?
Mm-hmm. Good question. Yeah, I feel it's a time everybody's getting cabin fever. Chip, we got to get out of the house. We need some warm weather. We need something to go do. We start you know, digging for different stories and headlines and trying to outguess where this thing's going to go, and you know, just manage risk. And but risk management can really be a buzzword, Chip, that creates some numbness. Managing risk doesn't necessarily mean you have to be bearish. And too often, I think it gets lumped in with, if you're going to go manage risk, you're giving up opportunity. And it doesn't have to be that black and white. I think, you know, there's ways to retain the upside, but get control and manage your downside price risk. I think once you grasp that concept, you can really embrace the volatility and the uncertainty that could lie ahead of us here. And if there's ever been an environment that we have uncertainty in, it's the one we live in right now. So,
yeah, no doubt about it. So with that in mind, what kind of strategies do you like right now? I'm not looking for any specific recommendations. Just maybe give listeners something to think about when it comes to their risk management.
Yeah. Well, there's a number. The U.S. farmer has never had a better set of tools to go out there and execute. There's just the diversity out there. There are a ton of really solid tools. I don't think one is a silver bullet over another, but a combination of them all to help you get broad enough control to go out there and make a financial impact. I think that's what's really important. I don't want to lean one way. This is the tool you need to use. That's the tool you need to use. There's some you probably need to stay away from and run from. If they are boxing you in and are short volatility, I really don't like those types of tools. But if they just allow you to establish a floor, retain some upside, and get control, sales plus long call options, short-dated calls, they're a great tool. A July, August short-dated call against a forward contract type sale, futures hedge to arrive, cash contract with your local buyer. That gives you upside throughout a prime time growing window here where we could have some uncertainty and some price volatility and see price appreciation or a big sell-off. But either way, that tool puts you in control where you can embrace the up and defend the down. And I think that's a great tool. The other one, you know, put options. They give you a floor price and avoid the production commitment chip. And I think that's key because you're not going to go forward contract every bushel.
Right, right. Yep, good point, good point. The short-dated options, how are people using them?
They have grown in popularity a lot over the last few years. It's
good.
A good tool, yep. There's pros and cons to them, you know. I think on the call side, I really like it against on sales. If you're buying short dated puts, you can get in a spot where you just keep kicking the can down the road. And actually at the end of the day, they can kind of cost you more than just going to the outright no vertice put,
gotcha,
put strategy. Mm-hmm. But definitely on the call side, I really like them against early sales, stay in the game, spend a little money on that long call with a short dated call up front. A great deal.
Yep, yep. You said earlier that you're looking forward to the prospective plantings report at the end of March. But if you look at the 470 25 corn market and decide, listen, I want to do something with that. Maybe you do a hedge to arrive contract. Maybe you do something to lock in that price.
Yeah.
Ahead of that prospective plantings report, why not use a short-dated call just in case the acres don't show up?
Right, yeah. That's to me, that call against a sale serves a couple purposes. One, it keeps you in the game and allows you to keep marketing, because once you make that sale, you're always kind of looking back at it saying, was it good or was it bad? And if the market goes up, you might drag your feet a little bit on your next sale. And that call against that sale will kind of help you continue to progress your plan if you're scaling in. And then the second piece of the call is just giving you the dang confidence to execute. We've had a sell off the low. We tested 480 on new crop corn. We're back in 467. It's hard after 3-4 down days to go pull the trigger on a sale, but you know, doing something and having the upside still there might be better than looking back and, you know, if this thing were to continue selling off 30, 40, 50 cents, wishing you would have.
Yep. Yep, yep. I know one guy, and maybe other people do this too, Brady, but he says, you know, I swear every time I make the cash sale, it puts in some kind of a low. It could be a long-term low, it could be a short-term low, but I managed to sell the low every dang time. So he has started buying a short-dated call when he makes, you know, a significant cash sale just to guard against that.
Yeah. I think it's a great tool. It's a great tool that allows you to execute. And a prime candidate right there. If you think you're selling the bottom every time, make sure you're buying the calls against them.
Well, we've always talked about courage calls.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, when you've on these short dated calls, that can act as a, you know, a pretty cheap courage call to go ahead and give you the encouragement to go out there and make that cash sale when the market is telling you to go ahead and make that cash sale. So yeah, use them that way to manage your emotions a little bit in there, and that might be the biggest part of them is managing your emotional side, right?
Bingo, Chip. Yep. Marketing that first half of your crop, it's the easiest, but that last half is just, it gets harder to let go. And as you you judge, how did you do on the first half of your crop? And if you did terrible, you feel like you need more out of the next half. And if you did great, you don't want to screw it up, Chip.
Yep. I
market
hear you,
a little
man.
Bigger, more broadly, and get broad control. You know, that's I guess my bottom line is decision making's the name of the game. Use tools that allow you to make decisions and get broad control going forward. But don't give up opportunity. Risk management doesn't mean you have to be bearish.
Love it. Good stuff, Brady. Thank you so much, man. I'll be watching for more from you and Connor here going forward. Okay, man.
Cool. Thanks for having me back. Take it
you
easy.
Bet. You too. That's Brady Huck, Advance Trading. All right, Davis and I are going to pull some of the highlights and take a look at the weather forecast next here on AgriTalk.
My son loves to fly kites, but my active psoriatic arthritis can sometimes hold me back. Now with Skyrizi to treat my skin and joints, I'm ready to go. Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults, helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi today and visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
David was in big trouble with the IRS.
At first, I didn't owe that much, but after this year, it was out of control.
Then David called Get a Tax Lawyer.
Right away, they were like, oh yeah, looks like you're qualified to save.
Get a Tax Lawyer went to work.
Should have called way sooner.
Get a Tax Lawyer has helped thousands like David fight the IRS and get a fresh start.
Call 800-745-3070. That's 800-745-3070.
No two people learn the exact same way. So how did Babbel become the award-winning language learning app? We thought of you. All of you. Take Sierra. As a visual learner, she uses Babbel's wordplay videos.
Today I'll share a quick lesson on shopping in French.
Merci beaucoup. Keith is a be-in-the-room-with-real-people kind of learner. So he loves the live online classes with our language experts.
Okay, class. Vos está pronto.
Estamos prontos.
However you learn, Babbel makes it easy. Try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Boy have found that gene-edited bacteria can supply nitrogen early in the development of the corn crop. Joining us with more information, Dr. Logan Woodward, researcher on the study. Dr. Woodward, what makes Pivot Bio's approach to nitrogen production unique?
The most unique aspect of our supplying nitrogen is that our microbes are gene-edited, so the only gene-edited microbes that are out there on the market right now. And what's exciting about that is that the nitrogen-fixing process takes energy, and some of your native microbes may just take up nitrogen that's in the soil. And with ours, it is truly getting nitrogen into the plant that we proved in our study, that we're getting nitrogen in the plant that is ultimately derived from the atmosphere. So fixing some of that nitrogen right there on the crop roots and ultimately providing a new source of nitrogen being the air.
All right. So how can farmers adopt Pivot Bio products to improve their nitrogen management strategy?
Yeah, so adopting some of the Pivot Bio's products in your system is relatively simple. We have two application methods, either on seed or applied in furrow with the planter. And, you know, we can apply these alongside with your traditional nitrogen fertilizers and still get the benefit out of them. We need that nitrogen to actually maximize our yields for corn. But we can just ultimately replace some of your more inconsistent pounds of nitrogen. Additionally, it can help on some of the logistics. You can cut out the whole passive nitrogen, or you can cut down on some of the volume or the pounds and fill up a little bit less often. So you can kind of get to those operations and get them done at a quicker speed. And lastly, we have a excellent agronomy team that will help you tailor your nitrogen fertility program to get the most benefit out of those pounds of nitrogen.
Where can listeners go for more information on this?
You can go to pivotbio.com.
Excellent. Thank you, Dr. Woodward. That is Dr. Logan Woodward, Pivot Bio Product Development Agronomist.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive. Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
When you're a grower, a land loan is more than money. It's the power to make your fields come alive, to make your farm prosper, to help your operation thrive. That's why FBN Finance gives you more. With experienced loan advisors, often farmers themselves, and great land loan rates shared daily. Don't just borrow money, borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners, NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at #AgriTalk. And welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal, Davis Michelson here, along with Chip Flory here on your Wednesday afternoon. Chip, we're halfway there, homie.
Yeah, man. Matter of fact, we're a little more than halfway there.
Actually, we are. We are.
Yeah.
Our streak is intact this week. We're doing great.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, I want to talk about some things that Brady Huck said. Noise in the markets, tools to stay away from. Risk management doesn't mean you have to be. Stay tuned for the rest of the sentence. But first, I've got the flyer in front of me. It's a mega meat sale running through March 4 at my local grocer. Chip.
Okay.
Mega meat sale.
All right.
But there are some one-to-ones here that are interesting to me. Let me lay these on you. Let's start with the roasts. Okay.
Okay.
I've got the, chuck roast.
Yep.
Beef chuck roast. Yep. Boneless. $5.99 a pound. I think that's down.
It's down a dollar from the last time you talked about it. Yeah. The first time you talked about the flyer, it was at $5.99. It went up to $6.99, and now it's back down.
Now we're back down. Now watch this. I've got a Boston-style pork butt roast. Last time we talked, $1.59 a pound. $1.29 a pound, baby. I'm going shopping for some pork. I'm going to give you some of that.
No doubt.
Sounds awfully tasty. Now here we've got, and we'll move on here quickly. But we've got ribeye steaks, a 12-ounce ribeye steak for $9 a piece. Okay?
12 ounce ribeye steak. So,
for $9.
So it'd be, geez, for $9.99 or $10, is that what it is?
Yeah, about that, yeah.
Okay. All right. So you got to take that times 1.25, right?
Yep.
And 10 plus... That's only $12.50. That's a pretty good price.
It's $9 for the steak, though. It's not $9 a pound.
What's
interesting is,
I know, but if you, that 12 ounces is,
oh, I see what you're saying,
is 3/4 of a pound.
I got you.
So you take it times 1.25, and I think that would get you your price per pound at $12.50. That's a good price.
Now look over at, let's see. Now we've got KC strip steaks. I never heard of KC strip steaks until I moved to Kansas City. $9.99 a pound. Those are usually the cheap ones. I can usually grab like a cellophane of that of like maybe an 8 ounce or so for like $5-6.
Yeah.
They're up to $10 a pound now.
Well,
pork steaks $1.99, pork tenderloin $1.99 a pound.
Hey, if you're looking at an 8 ounce steak, a half a pound steak for $5,
yeah,
that's $10 a pound.
There you go, $10 a pound.
Yes,
looks like they got me, didn't they? There's one born every minute, Chip. One born every minute.
Yep, I always have to think back to the price per pound on these on those deals.
Yeah,
because you look at that, you know, the thin ribeyes just $4.99.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how thin are they? That
right.
barely makes a sandwich.
Yeah.
It is kind of the attitude that I see on them. And you're right. People look at that and say, "Jeepers, crammy, that's a heck of a deal." Mm-hmm. Ribeye steak for $5.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, on a per pound basis, you've only got about a quarter of a pound there in that 4 ounce steak or whatever it is. 6 ounce steak is what it probably is. But bring it all back to dollars per pound.
Well, I got to tell you, by the time you get a little bit of smoke going in the kitchen, you know, and the smoke detector's going off, you've forgotten all about that per pound price. All you know is there's good stuff going down the tube. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
Woo!
Yes.
Okay. Let's get to the conversation with Brady Huck there. You called him a glass half full guy on the grain markets. He made mention of some noise in the markets and some tools you should stay away from if they box you in on marketing decisions. What did you take from the conversation with Brady Huck?
Well, when I said that, you know, he was a glass half full kind of guy, he was looking back at an 80-cent rally in the wheat market from last summer, or from late last summer, early last fall, and basically saying, listen, you got to reward a market when it does that. You can't let that get away from you. Well, if you haven't done anything about it to this point, you've let a chunk of it get away from you.
Yeah.
And but hopefully you've done something to capture what was available to you. And I think that's kind of the attitude that I was picking up from him in all of the markets. And also just, you know, his continued plan, idea, to, if you are locking in a price, go ahead and find a way to maintain some flexibility on that pricing, to reopen upside potential, whether it be through a call option, a short dated call, something like that, just to make sure that if Bubba's right and we do see a rotation out of equities and into the grains, that you're there for it. And the call option will keep you involved if there is a rally.
It's been ugly in the equities this week. Usually you hear, oh, it's a healthy setback.
Too.
Yeah, it's very constructive here. We needed to set back a little bit. I'm not hearing any of that. Are you?
Yeah. I'm hearing some of it, but it's because of the uncertainty that so many people see. And it's without that clear path forward on what's going to be going on with business, man, oh, man, oh, man, it is tough for people to commit to a position, no doubt. All right, National Weather Service 6 to 10-day outlook, March 4th through the 8th. We got above normal temperatures expected in the central and eastern belt. We've got near normal temperatures expected in the far western production areas. Above normal precipitation is expected over the entire corn belt. You got to get up into North Dakota, northern Minnesota before you find the near normal in the forecast. All right, thank you so much for listening today. Come back tomorrow. We got Jordan Fife from BioUrgent tomorrow morning. Tomorrow afternoon, Jamie Kowalki, Paragon Investor.
Need help navigating these markets or consulting for your operation? Let agmarket.net help. Receive personalized support and market guidance from seasoned commodity brokers, transparent account access, education and strategy resources, live calls, and access to research. Interested in consulting? AgMarket.net is able to help establish a customized marketing plan specific to your operation. Head to AgMarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Wake up. Get ready. Grab breakfast. Go to work. Grab lunch. Come home. Run to practice. Run to the store. Grab dinner. Go to bed and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time and switch to the expensive shampoo with amino acids. Sure, you don't know what those are or why you need them, but it sounds very impressive. And if you switch and save hundreds, you can massage it into your scalp every day. Now, if only you can get people to lean toward your head to smell those aminos. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For shampoo. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you get coverage options based on how much you want to pay for car insurance. And then you decide how to spend the rest of your money, because you're in charge. Today, you're going to pay down your credit card bill. But you decide when you'll pay it.
Before the due date, so those interest charges don't get you.
But you decide if you pay it in full.
But you definitely should, because again, interest charges.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, we'll help you find coverage at a fair price. And then, you're in charge. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson, directing all federal agencies to identify and have a plan for more layoffs and buyouts of employees. President Trump and Elon Musk.